This evening, my topic is transformation through studying and prayer. And so for scripture, I'd like to reference Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let me turn there. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we're talking about transformation, being transformed through the study of God's word and through praying. And so when I look at studying and praying, I see that they can go hand in hand. I find it interesting that Jesus was someone who studied and prayed, and someone who is the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus being the Word, why would he have to study? Well, him being our example, being our standard, he's teaching us that it takes more than just knowing God, but knowing his word, using his word as a defense, sort of. And we can see, according to Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Well, growing in wisdom would be a reference to God growing in the knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. In fact, we see this in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. When Jesus is in the wilderness, he's attacked by Satan. Three times Satan tries to tempt Jesus, and what does he do three times? He quotes Old Testament scripture. Jesus quoted the scripture because Jesus knew the scriptures. Jesus studied the scriptures. This is an example for us. If we want to be transformed into, let's say, soldiers for Christ, let's say soldiers that aren't just able to put on the armor, but actually able to use it, we're going to have to study. Okay, I find it interesting. Three times we see Jesus using scriptures. And when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, right before the most stressful moment of his life, three times he does what? He prays. Three times he uses scriptures. Three times he prays. This lets me know that scriptures can do the same thing. In Matthew chapter 4, I believe it's verse 11, the Bible says, after the temptation, after the quoting of scriptures, the angels ministered unto him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22, I believe it's verse 46, where the Bible says, after he got through praying three times, the angels strengthened him. So through studying of the scriptures, Jesus was strengthened. Through praying, Jesus was strengthened. Prayer and scripture and prayer and studying do the same thing, if used correctly. Paul would say in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word power, I've seen it somewhere before. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That word power, I believe the Greek word dunamos, which where we can get our word dynamite. Now think about this. Dynamite is powerful. My hand could not destroy this building, but dynamite can fit into my hand. And dynamite, one stick, could destroy this whole building. So if the gospel is God's power, God's dunamos, God's ability to save, what is prayer? So if studying God's word would be the equivalent of me having dynamite, prayer would be the lighter to ignite the fuse. I'm not a fan of Warren Wisby, but he once said that prayer are like missiles, because I could be standing here in America and I could have brethren over in India needing help, and I could pray for my brethren way over in India, and it's as if God's power is launched. I don't know if you have all ever played like a war game or just seen war videos of Strike Force, but these are launched missiles that are intended to hit something. They're not just randomly thrown, randomly hit. They have a target. And these missiles, when they're launched, they hit their target. That's what prayer is. They're like missiles that unleash the power of God, but they're missiles, they're power, they're dynamite with a purpose. And so all I'm saying is studying and prayer go hand in hand. I find it interesting, as we were using Ephesians 6, Paul says, in order to be strong, we have to put on the armor of God. I'm not sure if you all remember, but last quarter, we talked about the armor of God when we was going through the New Testament, and I mentioned how each piece of the armor is a reference to the Word of God. The shield of faith. How do we get faith? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. Where is salvation? The Word of God. James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and naughtiness of superfluity and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to do what? Salvation. We talked about peace, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do we guard our minds? With the Word of God. So each piece of the armor can be found through the studying of God's Word. And so I mentioned that every time we study the Bible, every time we go to a gospel meeting, every time we come to a lectureship, every time we come to a Sunday morning worship, we are strengthening our armor. But watch this. How do we use the armor? Paul says in order to put the armor on, you have to study. But in Ephesians chapter 6, if we drop down to verse 18, watch this. Paul tells us how to actually use it. Remember, I said studying the scriptures is the power, the dunamis. Praying is lighting the fuse. Studying God's word is how we put on the armor, but praying is how we have the power to use it. Verse 18, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Transformation happens through both prayer and through both study. Here's something I thought I'd throw in just for reference sake. It's not dealing with per se transformation, but it is indeed helpful. I was thinking about how when we study, we usually pray. Most people here, when we go to do a Bible study, we pray right before we study. I've seen Brother Braswell do it. I've seen Brother Mike do it. I've seen various brothers do it. I do it myself. We don't begin a Bible study unless we start praying. This is something I'm sure many of you do at home. And so I thought, well, when we pray, we know studying and prayer, they go hand in hand. Well, when you put your hands together, what do you get? Your little prayer hands, right? And so I'm wondering if, since prayer is us talking to God and studying is God talking back, I wonder, how do we unlock our prayers? How do we open our prayers? Well, when you open your hands without disconnecting them, you open your prayer hands. What's that look like? Your little study hands. Scott and Josh know what this means. This is studying. So I'm wondering if so many people have seemingly had their prayers unanswered because they haven't opened God's word to hear the answer. We were also in the Fishers of Men class, and for those of you that took that beating with me, we knew the MTA. You do your DIQs and your DIAs to get the MTA, and that's to make the appointment. But the whole purpose of making the appointment is to close the study. So you got your study hands. In order to close the study, we need to pray. Brother Mosier always said, brothers, if you want a Bible study, pray for one. And my pops would always say, don't pray for someone if you're not willing to help them. And again, if you're going to pray before you do a study at home, why not pray before you do a public study? Why not pray before you do a study with your college roommate or your neighbor or your friend or your coworker? That one person you want to reach, but you just don't know how, pray. Again, that's not the transformation part, but that's just something I was thinking of as I was going through the study. I want to close with this. I find it interesting in Acts chapter 8, as Philip is approaching the Ethiopian eunuch, beginning at verse 26, we know that the eunuch was reading scripture, Philip would ask him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I except some man teach me?" When we get to Acts chapter 10, Peter is sent to the house of Cornelius, but Cornelius wasn't studying. Cornelius was praying. Through studying in Acts chapter 8, a man was given instructions on how to be saved, how to please God. Through praying in Acts chapter 10, a man was given instructions how to be saved, how to please God. Both studying and prayer teaches us how to be saved and how to please God. If you are not a child of God tonight, through studying God's word and through prayer, my prayer tonight is that you would obey the gospel, that you would hear his word and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he did die for your sins, and that dying for your sins, obeying his gospel, being confessing him to be the Son of God, repenting of your sins, and being buried with him in baptism, Romans 6:4, and rising to walk in the newness of life, that heaven can one day be your home. That's my prayer. But my prayer doesn't do any good if you're not willing to hear God's word and have that same prayer for yourself. If you would like to be a child of God, I beg and plead with you tonight, won't you come as we together stand and sing?
Appreciate Brother Tobias, and it's good to see the growth in him as he is laboring here with us. We're thankful for him and his wife as they're continuing to help us to grow, and hopefully we're helping him and them to grow too. The last leaders class is, of course, this Sunday at 5 o'clock. Feed and Seed, all of those messages or announcements are the same. We do want to keep Teddy in our prayers. He's ill. And also let's keep mindful of the Christmas gathering party for 6th through 12th grade at the Model Wells on December the 17th. So there's a little special note here. The ladies will meet at 10 o'clock this Saturday to put cheer baskets together. And so if you can help with that, that would be great. Is that correct? Did I read that right? Any other announcements that are not on the... Yes.
My grandmother passed away. And I want to pray for my family
right now. Definitely. Sister Emily wants a special prayer for her family, the death of her grandmother. We'll do that. James.
Amen to that. Appreciate that. Any other announcements? Carly is graduating and Autumn is graduating and they're both leaving, right? You're not leaving? You're going to stay, Autumn? Okay, good. But Carly's leaving. Sad face. Real sad face. And so we definitely want to keep her in our prayers. And Evelyn said something last night at the Feed and Seed that was powerful. You know, it's good that she is leaving so she can go spread the goodness of God with her. And so you need to do that. And we're thankful. And you come back and see us anytime you want to. And we love you. Okay. Who has closing prayer? If not, Chad has it. Come on up here. Let's be standing.